It's Wednesday, February 24th, 2021, and you're listening to episode 564 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 1 hour. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
My name's Chad.
And I'm Laura.
Lura.
No, dear sweet Jesus.
You keep putting that unnecessary A in your name.
I know, right?
That's like just how the British screw up all their words with too many U's. Apparently, you just want to screw up your name with too many A's. It already has one A at the end.
I know.
Stop being selfish.
A is a very common letter. We only have so many of them.
You know, all three of you have an A in your name.
But just one.
Just one.
But I don't do this to you.
No, you don't.
Because I don't like having my name poked at, so I don't do it to you.
Yeah, why don't you make fun of Wayne's name for once?
Because I promised him I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even say why.
Right.
Because to even say why without the reason why I promised him I wouldn't make fun of his name. And it's very rare I promise not to make fun of anything.
Mm-hmm. My wife yelled at him.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife didn't yell at me.
She messaged you about it.
No, she didn't.
Yeah. It was a Facebook one. I remember you mentioned it afterwards.
It must have been profoundly unimpressive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this was years ago.
Because I hold a grudge a long time. So this must have been profoundly unimpressive.
Yeah, but don't you hate it when you think you've outgrown something and that aspect of being poked fun of just suddenly comes back out of nowhere?
Well, yeah, okay, but that's because we're children.
You are children, so children, let's move on. Thank you.
I have an awesome name. Nobody makes fun of my name because it's really
nobody
a cool name.
Makes fun of the name Chad.
I mean, not because of me or anything.
Well, especially
it's just an awesome name.
Yeah, I know. It's come to represent the top crust of society now.
Yeah, that I when Chad became a meme on the internet, for about a month, I was very confused. Because they're talking about, oh, Chad's this and Chad's that. I'm like, what?
No,
I'm
not.
Sorry?
They're not talking about hanging me anymore.
Well, and then they're talking about like, yeah, you know, Chads are so tall. Yeah. And, you know, Chads are very confident. Yes.
Suddenly Caballarianism works.
Right? And it's just like, oh, they have big chins and, you know, they have this. And I'm like, is this like a checklist? Why is everyone talking about me?
It's enough of a joke that one of the characters in the campaign I run for my work group is literally named Chad, and he is the chattiest Chad to ever
chat.
I say
the past 2 years, in the past like 1 to 2 years, do you realize how many first names have been turned into slang? Chad, Stacy,
Karen,
Becky, Karen.
Yeah.
Tyrone, and I realize these are not all positive ones. I'm
we're just reporting.
I am just noting that this occurred.
They're almost never positive.
No,
if a name is memed, it's not a positive thing.
It's not a good thing. You don't want to be a meme.
And so, it's just I find it weird that it happens so fast. That
it's the language of my generation. We just meme shit constantly. It's fine. I'm not sorry.
I don't think it's your generation. I think it's the Zoomers.
It might be the Zoomers. We can blame the Zoomers.
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, I don't know. I have no dog in this fight, to be honest, because my name's not one of the ones that's been memed.
Yes.
The important thing, Dan, is she called us children, and we can't be children because we're published authors.
That's correct. Thank you, Wayne. That's such a smooth transition.
That's not at all.
I didn't need my parental consent to divulge my information or to receive payment.
You can still act like a child, though.
Yes, I can. And so did, so let us explain what we're talking about, and then I'll tell you the stupid story to go with it. So the thing we're talking about is the book Worth a Thousand Words, that was released by Jason Brick as the primary, I don't know what you'd call himself, anthologist, editor? I'm not sure.
Anthologist is a word. Yeah.
No, anthologist is a word. Yeah. I'm just not sure what he calls himself in this. Yeah. But it was put together by him, edited by some woman whose name I can't recall.
Sure, remember his name, but not the woman who edited it.
His name is Brick.
Yeah.
Jason Brick. What a great name. Well, it would only be better if it was Chad Brick.
Or Chad Power.
Right, Chad Power Brick.
No.
Chad Chest Flex Brick. God, what a manly name.
I know. It's a name that has a dick.
It does.
It was like, do you remember the one and only political candidate that Fear the Boot ever endorsed?
No.
Colonel Jack Jackson. Don't you remember this? Back when I was living in St. Peter's.
I don't remember anything, Dave.
There was a
life
guy.
Life is a new experience every day.
I literally to this day do not know what the guy stood for. Right. I don't know what he was running for. I don't know even if he won, okay? Mm-hmm. All I know was when I was living in St. Peter's, Missouri, which is where I was at when the show started, there was a guy running for office that became a meme within the show, and his name is Colonel Jack Jackson. Hmm. And the primary campaign picture of him was him in a fighter plane, like a real one. See, that's mm-hmm. he was a fighter pilot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, goodness gracious, this may be the single most manly man.
I mean, he's no Chad chest flex brick, but
yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, but let's get back to the book.
Right. So
let's focus.
Okay.
Stand
so
task.
The thing about the editor, it's not that she doesn't matter. She did a great job. It's that I've never met her. I don't know her. I've known Jason like face to face. He comes to Fear of the Cons and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've known the man for years.
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
matters. But
wow.
This is a great setup for your thing.
It is. I mean, it is.
You could argue that's why it's necessary.
That's true. I have to do this. We have
fine.
To do this. Yeah, this actually will tie into
Hang
something.
In with us, faithful audience. There is a point. To
yeah. All right. So let's, yeah. let's.
I can't even counterpoint because I have no idea what her name is either because she's never messaged me on Facebook and he has.
But the point being that Wayne's in it, I'm in it, Brodor's in it, several listeners to the podcast are in it. Very proud of how it came together. And speaking of being children in an act of passive aggressiveness, my girlfriend re-edited part of it before she finished sending the submission because I wrote the submission, just asked her, hey, can you just check it real quick for anything weird? And I didn't find out until after the fact that she nitpicked some of my word choices. And
so you're with someone you belong with.
Correct.
Is what I hear.
Right. I found some of my maturity level.
Yeah.
She was just making it better.
You're both into the same thing, judging each other.
Correct.
Yeah.
And yeah, being kind of just passive aggressive. Yeah.
Especially about words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this pedantry is the basis mm-hmm. of a powerful romance. All right. Oof. So now that we've done all of this, first of all, please do check the show notes for a link to this book. I hope you will pick up a copy. But that aside, it was important to lay this groundwork of vaguely offensive banter to set up
vaguely offensive
Laura's topic.
Laura's topic.
Go ahead. Come on, sweetie. Yes.
I beg your pardon.
Bottle that.
Oh, the only reason I'm not murdering you right now is because I look really bad in orange. So I'm a little angry now.
So take that anger and explain uh-huh.
now. Use it.
Why
use it.
You are doing what you're doing.
Man, I legitimately have not felt this angry towards a person I know in a long damn time. Okay. Just not looking at you. I'm going to explain this to Chad.
Excellent.
Who's slightly less
You explain it to Fear Guy. He's always there for me. Mm-hmm.
Do I fall somewhere between the two?
I'm not angry with you. You're fine.
Yeah.
Yet. So what I am trying to do, I have seen and heard a lot of feedback from people within the gaming community who are part of minority groups. So Black folks, people of color, women, gender minorities, LGBTQ+ people who have a really difficult time finding safe spaces to game because people tend to be assholes, Dan. It can be really difficult for people who are minorities to find a space where they're comfortable gaming sure. in a group. So what I would like to do and what I've offered to do via my TikTok account is to GM a campaign for folks who are a minority. So I'm looking to run a campaign in 5e. Specifically, I'm looking for 6-ish players. We would be streaming the game via Twitch, probably monthly, potentially bi-weekly, depending on people's availability, etc. So if you're interested, please reach out to me. And I would love to have a chat.
How would you like people to reach out to you?
I don't know.
No.
That's, you can find me on TikTok. My tag is at Witchy Phoenix.
Okay.
Or you can contact me via Fear the Boot. My email is Laura at
Fear the Boot.com. Yeah, it is Laura, not Laura.
It's spelled properly.
With that XSA.
With the appropriate A. And I'll probably also throw something up on the forum about it. Sure. So if you're interested, let me know.
Okay. So if you guys check the show notes, I will give links to Laura's TikTok so you can find her there. Mm-hmm. I will note what her email address is. So if you want to email her directly, or if you go on the forums, I actually need to change your name.
You do, yeah.
Because you were one of the very few hosts, maybe the only one.
Because I didn't know. Because nobody told me that I was supposed to have my
name.
So
I need to actually change her forum name or your forum name to be Laura. Because right now I think it's
like one of my, it's like From the Ashes.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, is From the Ashes.
I think that should be a really interesting stream too. Because I've heard some horror stories from people who tried to create inclusive games and have just gone off the deep end to the trying to be inclusive made it offensive. There was a guy at one of the last Fear the Cons that was telling us all about a story where he was in a game and he was the only black player and the GM refused to use the word black magic.
Oh, Jesus.
He called it African American magic. And not ironically, not
mean. That's hilarious, but and not honestly, hilarious.
Honestly, and that's part right of why. That's part of why I want the entire group to be minority.
Right.
That's why I don't want cishet white men to be part of the gaming group, because we don't have to worry about nonsense like that. It'll also involve a pretty in-depth session zero to make sure that we're all on the same page and that stupid crap like that doesn't come up.
Yeah,
but it's really important to me. So yeah.
Sure. So are you running it on like Roll 20 or something?
Yeah, it'll be on Roll 20.
So I'm getting ready to do a game myself that my wife's been playing a lot of online games like these, and she's found a lot of the groups tend to be more dungeon crawl, more combat heavy.
Yeah.
And so I'm wanting to give her a D&D game that is more story driven, because that's kind of what I run, and I'm really jonesing to do D&D. So I've gone through and I've got this all set up on Roll 20, and like under the journal area I have full structures and folders and handouts there of setting stuff, kind of putting it all together.
That's awesome.
And so now it's about time for me to start reaching out and trying to get players. I don't have any limitations to who I bring in, but
so if you're a cishet white male and you want to play a game, go talk to Wayne.
Yes. Unless you're a really combat heavy player, because then you won't enjoy the game at all.
So, Wayne, where do you want people to contact you for your game?
Wayne@feartheboot.com.
Wayne@feartheboot.com. Okay, so I'll put a second note in the show notes on a different line that has a note about Wayne's game. So if you're
Dan, I ain't running shit.
Well, I'm about to start up a West Marches game that I've been talking about for a while.
How do we contact you?
Don't. Unless you're local and a friend or family member of mine, don't. If you're local and a friend or family member of mine, you may reach me anywhere you normally would, and we'll see if we can get you added into this West Marches game. But we're being a little bit picky because it does involve
children.
One teenager and then one child.
Yeah.
So we're being a little picky, but
don't want to go full Brodor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except Brodor's actually in it.
It's good luck, sir.
Interesting life choice.
No, Mike is actually really great with kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's phenomenal with kids.
So there is one thing I'm going to put as sort of an end cap on the prior two announcements, because of the fact that I can already see that somebody's going to be douchey and say something or whatever. And I am not saying this because I feel I have some role here, except that of these are my friends. And as the person that I guess is most responsible for the show, I go to bat for my people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So all I want to say is, look, Fear the Boot has always been about, we want to help you have good games, but ultimately the way you have a good game is you have fun how you want, where you want, with whom you want, doing what you want. And if you're not hurting random outsiders, it is not our problem. And so please be respectful toward what Laura is asking and toward what Wayne is asking here with their respective games, because once again, this is not some hill to die on. Please don't. It ain't worth anybody's time. This is how they individually want to game, and that is acceptable. And yeah, if you don't like it, that's fine. Run your game your way, and I run my games my way. You know, and obviously being a cishet honky, you know, there's a cishet honky in every game I play. So you know, whatever, but that's just how it is. And so you run your games your way. Please respect the freedom of other people to do the same thing, but at the same time, never feel like you have to justify or excuse the fact that you are doing it as well, that you mm-hmm. are gaming the way you want to game.
And talk about it on your podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I just want to head that one off now, as we may take the piss out of each other because we're friends, but for real, please don't be an asshole about this. And just, you know, like I said, if this isn't for you, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Move on and whatever. So Chad, you said you had an announcement.
Yes, I have an announcement. I'll make it real quick, too. I'm not looking for a game right now or to run a game, so that's good. So, yeah, Mike Brodeur's podcast, or his whole effort over there at goinfo.org, G-O-I-N-F-O-R.org, no hyphen or anything.
No R at the end. G-O-I-N-F-O.org.
Go info. What did I say?
You threw an R in it.
Did I really?
Do you want to say that again? Because that's
no, let's keep it.
Okay. You know. All right. We're not editing that. That's getting left in.
I mean, you know, I need to learn for next time, right?
Yeah, because you're the one who has to edit these.
Right. I know. I mean,
you know what I love about that website, goinfo.org? The fact that that wasn't his idea for a name for it. He had the big, long influence foundation dot whatever, and Dan bought goinfo.org for him because Dan understands nobody's going to type in influence foundation dot whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's taken from all three words because, well, go isn't, I guess, but influence foundation became info. Yep.
And that's now what it's known as. And that's what he uses.
Goinfo.org. So,
goinfo.org, he has a podcast called Why We Game. He interviews a lot of people around the industries and stuff. He interviewed you, Dan. He really needs to interview you, Wayne. I think you could have a lot to say to him because of your projects, the things you do, and sort of how you impact gaming and role playing. That aside, for some unknown reason, he interviewed me. He called me a game designer, but I haven't designed a game since 2013. But we talked a lot. I really enjoyed the podcast. I really enjoyed being interviewed by him. I think he's a very good interviewer. He'll probably say, oh, thanks. No, I'm not. I suck. No, you don't suck. Mike, you're a really good interviewer, and I had a great time with it. We told a lot of stories. Basically, the interview is about how I came to gaming, and we started at kindergarten.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
There was some really interesting... Now, we don't go year by year, but it's just touch points through my life. It got very interesting, and it actually got a little emotional at some points, too. And then we cap it off with me analyzing Mike, you know, gaming style, how he runs a game, and trying to work him through that.
That sounds interesting.
Did you go to his place or did he come to yours?
I went to his place.
So you got to sit in the...
I got to sit...
The Dragon Den.
So Mike was 100% sober through the whole thing.
Really?
Yes, because he knows I don't partake like that. And so he didn't need to be. I didn't need him to be. But for him, it was like...
Just their respect.
Yeah, respect. Yeah.
Oh, good, good.
And then we played some card games, him and his wife. And yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah.
Really good.
Cool.
And if you are an industry person, you should reach out to goinfo.org, whatever their contact stuff is, and talk to Mike and have him interview you. He's really good and he's knowledgeable about the industry. And yeah, this is an excellent interview.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to put a link to the website because I actually created his email address, but I don't remember if it was Mike at GoInfo or Brodor at GoInfo.
Or Illuminati Crusher at GoInfo or something like that. Yeah,
I don't have any idea. So... I'll just put a link to his website because, once again, I created his email stuff and I just don't remember what any of it was. So, topic for today is a reflection back to something we talked about in episode 547. All right.
What are we on now?
I believe at 564. But
the climb to 600.
This was probably 9 months ago.
Right.
Well, we're over halfway to something that I did as a precaution, even though I never thought it would happen, which is in the names of the shows, like the actual MP3 files, to make sure they sort, I used leading zeros for each episode. So it's like Fear the Boot _ episode 32 would be 0032. No, that's it, because I put it in the thousands. So once we're halfway there now, once we actually flip to episode 1,000, our naming convention already handles that.
Well, technically we can go up to 999. 9,999.
You know, I thought about that when I did game notes, but I only added one leading zero because if I end up doing 1,000 game notes, I I don't know what I'll do, but I'll probably
well,
break
down. Well, you've done 1,000 game notes. Yeah. You'll do 1,001.
Apparently.
Why quit now?
Right.
I mean, it's the same way. I'm making a ton of money right now in IT.
I thought you were saying I make a ton of money on Fear the Boot. That's the biggest lie I've ever heard.
No, I'm making a ton of money in IT prepping people for the Y5K problem because nobody's system's got a 5-digit date.
No.
And so, yeah, they're really not ready for that. Mm-hmm. It's not conspiracy theory like Y2K was, Y10K. This is really coming. Did I say 5K at some point?
You said 5K. You did say 5K.
Okay. 5K would not be significant. But Y10K? I'm sorry. 10K.
Yeah. Yes. That's what we're all going to still be around by then.
I will be.
Humanity is totally going to be around.
Might be a brain in a jar.
Yeah. No.
I follow a strict human view of this.
Why are you going to be like that?
Because brains are awesome. Jars are nice.
I don't know. We'll all still be here. We won't have gotten to the topic at that point. Yeah.
I lack empirical evidence of my death or a topic. But, all right. So in episode 547, what we were talking about is this was at the start of everything getting locked down for COVID. And at the time, Wayne was running a Dresden game that these people were faking their way through. And he knew that he was going to have to stop the game. And so in 547, we talked about Wayne's strategies for spinning the game down and yet preserving it, knowing that one day it was going to come out of the freezer and it was going to be back on the table. All right. So what's the situation now?
So I did that at the time when everything was was up in the air. We didn't know how often we'd be gaming. Two of our players had to leave for the foreseeable future for it. The remaining, we've switched to a bi-weekly game, so every other week. And even that was really iffy. Well, now we're back to much more consistent. We are weekly gaming again. We've wrapped up the Masks game, so
which was fantastic.
It was amazing.
Everyone has been begging me to go back to the Dresden game. And I was nervous. The idea that people are excited about a game that I had run and they want to recapture that feel, that's kind of a lot of stress because I don't know that I can bring it back. Can you bring back the feel? Can you bring back the game? But like in that episode, I took a lot of steps to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. What did you end up actually doing from the advice that we gave on that episode or even not? What things did you come up with yourself to preserve that game and keep it alive in some degree between then and now? Because we're talking, I guess, about 9 months, give or take. I don't know exactly, but something like that.
It was about 9 months. The big thing was a big, huge document that was all of the location information, all of the what was important to each of the characters, having conversations with the players for that, putting in all the NPCs. I had another document that was my what's really going on document, like you do, Dan, that I didn't share with them. But I shared that document with all the players. So they got to read through it, throw things in. And for some reason, when I was doing this, I got off on a tangent while writing. There was one character in the game. Her parents have a food truck, a donut truck called Cupcakes. For some
and
wow.
They're former cops.
It's Cupcakes and Donuts.
Yeah, Cupcakes and Donuts.
Yeah.
Yep. Cupcakes.
So from there, another food truck had showed up at some point. So as I'm writing these locations down, suddenly, you know, I love my food trucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
I went off the deep end.
He did.
I developed like 7 food trucks, this crew of the food trucks, the drama, like one truck was opened because the guy had divorced the owner of the other truck and stole all of his recipes. So it's like feuding trucks there. There was a militant vegan truck that was doing a online social media war against the sausage truck. And I start writing all of this. I want to say it was like 2 pages worth of just
at least, yeah,
food truck background stuff. And I got really excited about it. And I threw it all in there.
The vegan food truck is called I Can't Believe It's Not Chorizo.
It's so awesome.
I can't believe it's not chorizo.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. Huh.
And what's great about
the sausage truck is called It's Chorizo.
No, the sausage truck is called Santoro Sausage, which is the name of the city.
Yeah.
And they have a 2-pound sausage called that we named the Kilbasa.
Yes. And it's amazing.
And so they get tons and tons of business because the vegan food truck is doing a campaign to say, you know, meat is murder, and look at this food truck, and they've got all this meat, and they're really terrible. Look at their sausages, they're awful. Well, everyone's like, wow, that looks really
sausages
good.
Sausages look amazing. Yeah. They we do have a lot some. Of meat.
Let's go.
And they called the health department to come out and inspect the truck, and it's got an A-plus rating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it actually became more popular because of how clean it is.
Yeah.
So all of this was stuff I'd written into it, and yeah, I got really excited about it, and then I put it back, put the file away, and I didn't look at it for the entire masks campaign until right near the end. And then that's when I brought the file back out and started.
Okay, so what else was in this file other than food trucks?
I said it was all of the NPCs, mm-hmm. all of the story up to that point that the characters knew about, all of the locations, just information mm-hmm. about the game. Think of it like a giant Wikipedia for the game.
Okay. Friends, okay. Families, coworkers. Because remember in Dresden, you make your characters, but you also make the city.
Yeah, like yeah, there's yeah. the whole world building
yeah, then you make
that you do.
NPCs and stuff. And from that, your characters and those NPCs, when they kind of collide, more NPCs come out, right? You know, relations and friends and girlfriends and stuff. And so, yeah, there's a very large ensemble cast of characters here. Some very important, some just flavor.
So someone mentioned in that episode the idea of doing audio recordings or things. That was something I didn't take to heart, but as it turned out, I did. Because one thing I didn't realize was as we were getting ready to come back to the game, my three players listened to all of my Game Notes episodes where I was planning this when I was actually running the game earlier on when Game Notes first started, where I was planning the game, planning the sessions, talking about the sessions, sharing my weekly Paranet Gazette paper.
He did Game Notes episodes where he's like, you know, last week we did this and I'm going to try this thing in the game today. I'm not sure it's going to work. Maybe it will. I'm a little nervous about it, but we'll see how it works. Small pause. Okay, so I'm back now and I just ran the game and that went off like a firecracker. It was great. That was really cool.
Yeah. When I was recording it, I would record on Wednesday as I prepared, and then I would record on Saturday after the game. So you would get that, here's what I'm thinking leading up to it, and then right after the game, my post notes on how it worked.
And these are 10, 15-minute episodes that I think Laura was listening to, and then Dawn was listening to them as well. And then those two start talking about, you know, it's like, oh, I'm really
I brought it up in one of our like after one of our masks sessions when we were chatting and was like, oh my God, I've been listening to these Game Notes episodes and there's all this stuff that like all these things about Dresden that I'd forgotten and I'm so excited now. When can we go back and play this?
So I started listening to them because I was like, well, I want to try to remember some stuff. Maybe there's some holes, you know, things I forgot. But it was more than that. It was like, wow, this is getting me fired up about the game. So, yeah, those were really good.
That was something I didn't plan. It just kind of happened. But it goes back to that. If you've got audio recordings of the game that you could play or something like that, that seems to work. I mean, it really pumped them up before the session.
So let me ask about one or two items that are mentioned in the show notes for that episode. And then we're going to get to the big one. But the one I'm going to start with is one of the things we talked about was finding game-related activities you can do in the meantime. Other than writing this prose, did you have anything that you guys did to keep that game even somewhat alive?
We didn't, and I tried not to because we had another game going.
Gotcha.
And there was already crosstalk about that game again.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to poison the masks game because I was really enjoying running.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And that's why I intentionally didn't do that because I was afraid, you know how the new shiny is.
Right.
I was afraid of the old shiny killing the new shiny.
Yeah. Well, and when we dropped or paused the Dresden game, Wayne had asked us, hey, well, tell us about different characters, what is important to you, what is important to your character, that sort of thing. And I did a write-up on it, which was really good for me. And I noticed that Dawn wasn't. Now, Dawn is the person who, she made resource documents for Wayne before the game started on all the characters and stuff.
I would be willing to put money that she has these characters created in a Sims house.
Absolutely.
When she gets into a game, she does a lot of work. She makes a lot of stuff. And I noticed that she wasn't doing that. She mm-hmm. she wasn't mm-hmm. writing anything to Wayne's question about, you know, what's important to you. And so I was kind of like prompting, hey, maybe you should do this. Oh, hey, why don't you do this? Blah, blah. And then I asked her after a while, I'm like, so why didn't you do that? And she told me she loved the game so much. The fact that we paused it, while understandable and acceptable, made her sad.
Yeah.
And so writing about it just didn't feel good to her. So she didn't do it.
I didn't do it either. And to be fair, I usually don't do my assigned homework for games.
That's true. She doesn't.
I really don't. But because most of my work is mental, there's a lot of thought that goes into it. And coming back to the session this past week, I was able to give Wayne, hey, I have this bit of information for you. And here's what my character has been doing. And here's the direction that I want to take her, because I've been thinking about it. But I do documentation for a living. I'm not going to sit down and write stuff out. It's sure. just not going to happen.
And I guess that's one of the questions I have to put to the table here. Is we kind of did some of this stuff, and then Wayne did a lot of stuff. And like you said, you went on a real tear about the food trucks, which was great because that's flavor, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Dawn's character has a mother and a father who have a food truck, and it's this. And that was it. But Wayne added all this other flavor to it, and it really helped shape and color the world, and it was really good. But what do you do if you're a game master and you're in this situation and your players just really aren't into that? They're not gonna write stories, you know, to keep it going. They're not gonna, you ask them, well, what's your list of favorite NPCs and blah blah blah, and they're not really gonna type all that out. I guess the question is, what do you do if the game gets put on pause for an extended time? You know you're coming back, but Dawn, Laura,
and what do you do with Alora?
Well, we have a huge amount of buy-in, right?
Yeah,
we are very pumped about it. That is not necessarily the norm for every game and every gaming group, right?
So one thing I did, and we'll get into what the session was, I think, when Dan has some of the other questions. But one of the things I did was I made a supermarket of NPCs. I made the game you were coming back to one where there was a huge gathering of people. So I could make NPCs make cameos. And then I watched to see what NPCs are you interacting with and which ones are you blowing off. Because if you didn't tell me which ones you cared about, I'm going to parade them out in front of you and see which ones you care about now. And that's one of the things I thought about going in. How can I set something up where I just bring in naturally all of these NPCs that would not normally be socializing together and just see how you interact with them?
So, Wayne, it doesn't surprise me that you didn't use everything that we talked about. Because of the fact that that's really the intended structure of the shows we do anyway.
Yeah, throw out a huge toolbox.
Throw out a huge toolbox, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I was actually, the metaphor that came to my mind for this is perhaps a bit too literal, but I just had to clean out the drain in my shower. You know, fairly normal home maintenance activity requires on my shower two pairs of pliers and one screwdriver. Hmm. All right, that's what the task requires. I couldn't remember off the top of my head exactly what the guts of the thing looked like and so which size or type of screwdriver I needed. So I just went downstairs and rather than grab my toolbox like I probably should have, I just dug around in there, got about maybe half a dozen different items, brought them upstairs, and the whole thing worked. And I did not use the full half dozen items. It required three of them. And once again, that's kind of how we design our shows anyway. So the fact that you didn't use everything in there doesn't surprise me. But there is one thing that we talked about near the end of that episode that you had to have used because we kind of created a fully inclusive either or. And the either or was, do you choose to pick up the game right where it left off? Or do you choose to pick it up at a different point in time, most likely in the future? So how did you start this game? All right. So
I bounced around the idea in my own head of which do I want to do? And what I came up with is the players haven't just finished that last session. That's not fresh to them. So I did a time skip and I did a real world time skip. The real world issue was a pandemic. So in the world, a pandemic happened. What happened differently is in the world, very organized rollout, a vaccine was very safely developed and rolled out, and the virus was completely wiped out because it's a fantasy world.
Fantasy.
Okay, Wayne, can I give you congratulations for not taking the cheap plot shot there of the... Okay, you're looking at me funny. I hope you didn't do this. The virus is some vampire plot.
No, not at all. Yeah, no, not at all.
Normal pandemic.
Yeah. So normal pandemic. But because there was a...
Thank you. I appreciate that because I'm so much urban fantasy. Nothing could just happen.
Right.
Yeah, no, this was a mundane world that happened. Most of the supernatural couldn't catch it because the nature of the wizards, they don't get human viruses. Mm-hmm. They don't get sick because they have a different immune system. But they can't tell people that.
Yeah.
So when orders come down to lock down the city, they're all stuck. Exactly. Yeah. And the same for the bad guys. Their plots got pushed on hold for 9 months. And the way I set this up, at first I was debating about, do I want to come back with a one shot and have everyone play just different characters to get back into the world? And the more I thought about it, everyone was really excited because of their characters. It wasn't the big plot because they didn't get far enough into the plot before we had to put it on hold for it to even have really taken off. They were excited about their characters. So if I gave them NPCs, I wasn't giving them what they really wanted. So instead, what I did was I took all of this food truck stuff I was excited about, and I created a scenario of the city has just finally opened back up. The brand new food truck garden is opening for the first time because they built it right before the pandemic and they couldn't open it during the pandemic.
Mm.
So the food trucks, who Dawn's character's parents are there, I put Dawn, I start Dawn off in a big giant donut costume with a cop hat and a...
and her character is a cop.
Yeah. Holding a sign that says, don't resist.
Wow.
And immediately her father walks up to her and asks her, so how'd your mom talk you into this one?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't lead up to it. I just put her in the situation.
Huh.
And the same thing, Laura has a hideous van that got painted by Chad's character's sister that, what did I end up calling it?
The Boom Boom Machine.
The Boom Boom Machine, because it's an OK Boomer.
And OK Boomer is the coffee shop. Where
So she has to show up at this food truck garden opening.
Right.
And everyone in the city has been locked in for so long. This is the first social outing that's there.
Okay.
So, all of these NPCs that I want to parade in front of them, they have a reason to be there.
Yeah. So let me pause here and note something you did that's pretty cool. So I like the fact that you didn't just do the time jump. You came up with a reason why the time jump occurred and was necessary for everyone. And I don't think you necessarily...
Everyone, including the bad guys.
Yeah. But I think you could come up with different reasons than a pandemic.
Yeah.
But the fact that you chose to at least have something... Now, you did use the pandemic.
Right.
But if someone's in
it's
a game...
It's kind of on our mind.
Well, sure. But if, let's say, someone's playing a game where that's not really going to fit within the world all that well or whatever. I mean, you can still find these excuses where... I don't know, some side catastrophe pops up, or I don't know, your world has magic that comes, that waxes and wanes. Mm-hmm. And so it goes through a period of where it's kind of receding. And so you can't do anything or something else. I don't know. Yeah. But if you're creative, it seems like you could come up with a reason for why this happened. That isn't just, well, you got your asses kicked and had to go lick your wounds, which, I mean, that works if nothing else is available. Yeah,
or just hand wave it.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, and I have done time jumps before where, I mean, that's kind of the go-to is to just hand wave it. Just say, okay, now it's 3 months later.
Yeah.
Well, why? What did we do in those 3 months?
Yeah, well, because it's participatory, right? Yeah. So if I go see a movie, I want them to keep it internally consistent because I'm consuming it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm playing a game... And it's like, well, we need to explain why a year passed and we're not coming up with anything. Truth be told, I don't think I'd care either.
Yeah.
I just want to play the game. Like, could it just give me some starting moment and I will never ask why all of this had to wait for so long.
Yeah. And what I did with that, because I've done jumps before, but usually when I've done a jump before, it's between story arcs where I've come to an ending and that didn't happen this time. I like the idea of this is bringing everyone back together for the first time.
Yeah.
They haven't seen some of these NPCs in a while. maybe they've grown apart from them. So if they're not interested in them anymore, it's not just a case of, well, they don't care about the character anymore. Oh, maybe they've just grown apart because they haven't seen this person in 9 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I used all of that excitement I had riding the food trucks. All of that drama came out.
It did. It was so great.
Because the characters had not interacted with any of the other food trucks. They'd seen them.
Yeah.
So I found a way to work in every piece of drama that I had written in. All was happening around them. And they were getting caught up in the drama of the food trucks.
I think you should have had somebody outside the cupcakes truck enforcing a single file line so they could call it the thin food line.
Oh.
I don't think you're going far enough with these funds. Chad, where have you been?
I came up with Kill Bossa. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. That's, I expect that of you, but I expect more of you.
Oh, you haven't gotten to the rest of the puns because Chad and I were poking fun at each other at one point.
Mm.
I described that there's a stage and there's a band getting ready to play. So Chad asked me, what's the band's name?
Yeah.
No, and I didn't.
I was like, he's mid-sentence. I'm like, what's a band's name, Wayne? And I just stare at him.
I look back. Well, you tell me, Chad.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
And he replies back, that would break my immersion. So I reply back with Santa Rio.
Yeah.
They are a hardcore death metal band dressed as Santa Claus.
So, Santa Rio.
Right. So I want you to know that what this sounds like to me is if I and a dolphin got in a fight and the dolphin pulls out a gun and I rammed him with my nose. That's what that exchange kind of sounded
like. Pretty much. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we ended up having a band that is a death metal band. And then after I say it, describe them, and I don't normally sing, I sung a little bit of death metal Christmas songs. We started describing more things about the costume. Like instead of the white fluff balls, they have like a morning stars on them.
And their hat. Yeah, when they headbang, they just swing the morning star into the Santa hat.
The drummer's an accountant who just really is only there for, you know, his artistry and doesn't actually want to do it.
We set up that they didn't get to play during December. And the city didn't get to have their Christmas. So it became Christmas in January was the theme of the food truck garden opening.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And then the next...
Except Christmas is, the last part of the Christmas season actually is in January. It's January 6th.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on who you ask.
Well, right, but the last, so the Christmas holidays...
We know.
Santa-based death metal.
You're missing the good part here.
The band for the next week is the Easter Bunnies. 30-something-year-old men dressed as Playboy bunnies in the full gear with hairy legs. And when someone asked, why don't you shave your legs? Their answer was, because bunnies have hair.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're synthwave.
Yeah, yes. They're synthwave.
And they have a rivalry with Santa Rio.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
And this got me wanting to sit down like I did with the food trucks and write out the local
scene. There's going to be a whole music scene.
I'm making Christmas puns and rabbit puns. I've been there. The reason I need to emphasize the fact that the Christmas holidays end in January is no one has ever asked me to make an Epiphany pun. And so, or any Eastern Orthodox pun at all. And so I really feel like I need to do that.
There are two taco trucks and one of them is called Let's Taco About It.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all right, so there's something else I'm hearing here as I'm listening to this.
A lot of puns?
Puns.
Well, yes, I am. Yes, that is correct. I am hearing
and
that.
And the game as a whole doesn't have that comedy aspect.
No, it doesn't.
When I look at the food trucks here in St. Louis, most of them have pun names.
Yeah, so, okay, Wayne, the worst thing you can do, or one of the worst things you can do in any storytelling, is you go for the big setup, the big reveal, the big in-your-face moment, right? The one of the climaxes of the story and you fumble and fall all over it. You chose to lead with things that are fun, but I'm going to throw in what I think is an even more important adjective. They're interesting, but they are banal.
Yes.
And and then I ended the session on a cliffhanger is the opposite of that.
And if the food truck rally, it's low expectation, it can be really silly. It gets people back into the scene and the characters and the NPCs and their own characters.
High engagement.
Yes.
Because the plot of the story, not the food trucks, the plot of the game is a woman who was loved by everyone, who ran an orphanage for paranormal kids, who took in people who had problems in the paranormal community, was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
That is not safe engagement after 9 months coming back into that. Right. That's like, yeah. I do not want to fuck that up.
Right. Yeah.
Cupcakes? Oh, I'm all over fucking up cupcakes.
Well, yeah, say,
I brought you, us the kielbasa.
If Wayne had led with that, right? I'm not in this game. Right, but I'm just picturing this. If Wayne had led with that. So where I'm picturing this going, this she's murdered. Who?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, okay, I guess we need to ask our contacts. Didn't somebody have a cop? And then Don's like, I'm playing a cop.
Oh, right.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I didn't intend to hit that part of the storyline at all.
Yeah.
But the players engaged on it, and they went after something.
Mm-hmm.
So I did add a scene dealing specifically with that storyline, because the players, after the fun had kind of calmed down and that was done, they wanted to go out and get back on that trail.
Yeah.
At that point, the players want it. So I'm... Mm-hmm. giving them that. And then like I said, when I ended it, that was when I went with my cliffhanger knife to the back kind of
That was a gut punch that you did. That was neat. So to draw the picture for you, because we kind of keep teasing in the episode, like you said, food truck rally, safe engagement, fun, banal,
rediscover your character, rediscover your NPCs, rediscover each other's characters, and if it's silly, if it's cheesy, even if it's totally horrible, who cares?
So there's a mystery, right? Because there's all this drama between all the food truck owners and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a mystery. And one of our characters is a police detective, Dawn's character. My character's an EMT. Your character's a barista, but she's a badass vampire barista. And we're like, you know, the Scooby-Doo gang. We stick our noses in stuff and we solve mysteries and we dig stuff up. And so we're engaging in this sort of silly but pretty fun food truck thing. And there's a mystery going on. And like Wayne said, we got to a point where we as players were like, okay, we've had our fun. Now we want something a little bit of meat. We want something
let's dig into it a little bit.
Yeah, let's kind of dig.
2 pounds of it.
Like 2 pounds of the kielbasa.
Don's character and my character both got the kielbasa.
Yeah, my character did not. It's very sad. So anyway, we started following leads, right, to the major plot. And we sort of cast off. I don't want to say we totally ignored it, but we just kind of like, okay, well,
we kind of did.
The mystery of what was going on at the food truck rally, more important things happen.
They discovered that the brake lines of Santoro sausage had been cut, and they discovered who did it, but they discovered it through paranormal means that wouldn't hold up in court.
Yeah.
So they couldn't call the police.
So, like, essentially it was a, hey, somebody's out to get you. Be careful.
We're going to keep an eye on this. We're going to warn the person. We got the truck repaired. Then we're going to Band-Aid this plot, and we're going to deal with the real stuff. So stuff happens. It was a great, fun game. Post, you know, the stuff happening, where game's starting to wind down, and we're at OK Boomer, and we're kind of talking about stuff. My character, his thing is he sees dead people. Dead people seek him out. Ghosts and stuff seek him out. And they ask him to do stuff for them, like, tell my wife I love her. Okay, I went and did that. I told your wife that you love her. She's like, okay, great. Now I can move on.
The insurance papers are in this safe, and here's the combination.
And, and that's my character's thing, right? So we're sitting in an OK Boomer, and somebody walks in, and Wayne describes, and he says, the guy from the food truck, whose name I don't remember.
Joe from
the food truck comes in and he says, hi. And I say, well, my character turned around. It's like, hey, Joe, how's it going? And then he stops and he looks at the other two and he says, Kurt stops, turns around and says, hi. And there's no one there. And the guy walks through a table and Kurt suddenly says, oh, no. Takes out his notebook and starts writing, because he has a notebook where when the dead make requests to help, he writes it down so he doesn't forget.
We know about the notebook. We see him take the notebook out. We know what the notebook means, but we can't see who he's talking to.
Yep.
And so then we just know that somebody's died.
Yep. And then Joe looks him in the eye and says, need you to do me a favor. Need you to solve my murder.
Yep.
End game.
Yep. And that was my cliffhanger.
And it's like, you. That's not a cliffhanger. That's like a sad hanger. Because it's so great. It's so great. The contrast was so great, because it's this fun, banal, interesting thing.
Well, and we had just talked to him, so it was like, Joe's coming in to chat with us. This is awesome. He's talking about Joe. And like, no.
He died because we didn't do our goddamn job.
Yep.
That's why he's dead.
That's 100% why he's dead.
And Dawn's character was like, oh my God, I'm a cop. Mm-hmm. I should have done something.
Yeah.
So, it was great. It was wonderful. And it's that contrast, which is, I think that's really the advice here too, of what you pointed out, Dan. lead with the banal, lead with the fun, like you said, the supermarket of NPCs. You can kind of get a feel, put a little bit of plot in there to kind of see what they bite on, see what they go. Let the players decide that, okay, we're done with the fun stuff. Let's roll into the quote real game, but then do the old switcheroo on them at the end.
Yeah, well, and see, and that's something I think Wayne did himself a favor on, was how he chose to end it, because he did draw it back to a more serious, deeper plot.
Right.
But he did it after he had, first of all, gotten you guys kind of back into the flow, gotten himself back in the flow, because Wayne's got as much or more rediscovery to do than the players do. So, you know, you, Wayne, got the people back involved in that. You got your own feedback into it.
I
got
to get my head back around all my NPCs.
But that was something else you did, was you only set out, it seems, to accomplish one thing in that game, which you accomplished, which is getting the game moving again.
Yeah, that was my entire
goal.
You
did not write out for that game, here's the plot of how they investigate that, and here's the clues they might find, and here's who did it, and here's why, and da-da-da-da-da, and here's the people that might be trying to stop them, and all these great things that can make a wonderful plot later. But this is a terrible time to commit to it, because you don't know what it's going to be like once you get back into the flow. Is it the same? Is it different? Is it the same, but it's not how you remembered it? You know, are the people latching onto this versus that?
Yeah, what do the players care about?
There's all these. And so you left yourself of, here is something to note to them, to signal to them, we're going back to deeper and more powerful emotional themes. But you did not commit yourself to anything in terms of the details of that. So they could end the game any way they wanted. And, you know, it's just a little hook. It's just a little, it's a little tease. It's, there's nothing there.
I love my cliffhangers.
Yes, you do.
Well, I mean, whether they're appreciated in every game or not, I think in this particular game, it was a,
they were great.
I think it was a smart move because you could signal the turn back to more serious things.
The fun and all of the, that was baiting the hook and putting the hook out there. And that last scene was setting the hook.
Yep.
And at that point, I knew I had them back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw the looks,
oh my God,
expressions that were aimed at me, when they realized that Joe was dead.
Yeah, you guys need to just bridge some campaigns here, though, because do you know why Joe died? He's too good for this world.
That's right.
Yeah?
He read Wicked River.
He read Wicked River while driving.
Yeah.
That was that. Well, it's interesting to hear how this all played out. I think that's something that we need to do with more of our episodes, is when we say, oh, we got this going on, we need to be sure we revisit them. So, Wayne, I appreciate you coming back to us with your book report on how your summer went.
Oh, Chad gets all the credit for this, because they're talking positive things about me, and that makes me really uncomfortable. Well, so I would have never suggested it.
So, all right, so there's something
because
else.
Because you are really wonderful.
This is,
you are.
This is not a commitment from me. I've got enough commitments I'm failing at right now. So, but this is just a random thing I was wondering, is you were talking about how Dawn plays these Sims games with the characters from your guys' games, much the same way.
If the game is a winner.
Yes.
Okay,
that's
okay.
The thing. Right, she doesn't do enough. Every game, but
much the same way that I do games like XCOM with people I know. I more recently did RimWorld with people. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was the podcast host. It was the four of us are at the table right now, plus Brodor, and well, not through my girlfriend in for just another person. But yeah, I base things off of real people. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that with Phoenix Point. Maybe I should be, because actually turns out Phoenix Point's better than I thought it would be. Mm. I still think XCOM's better, but Phoenix Point is a good game. But I've got a question now, and I'm going to throw this out to the audience and see who out there can help me. Or Dawn can, I don't know. Is it possible to make a gnoll, not a werewolf, I don't want a werewolf, I want a gnoll, in Sims? And if so, I'm thinking maybe I should start using the Fear the Boot Twitch stream to stream some Sims games that are just like this hodgepodge of, like, I don't know, maybe we can even let the Patreon people vote on it or something. This hodgepodge of characters from various game, but we need to start with the Odd Couple household.
Oh my God, I want a buddy cop mystery with Gnarl and Casey.
Well, nice. Well, I'm thinking it's got to be, and when one of your characters has to be in there somewhere. So it's going to be like, maybe like Gnarl and Sir William. Maybe I'll throw in like Casey. I can throw in
I don't know. But the first thing I had to figure out is how do I do Knowles in The Sims? And I don't want it just to be like a regular dude who looks like a Knoll. I don't want
the modding community is large.
I say this guy should be not going to work, whatever. He should be like the most useless but violent thing that the game can create. And I don't know what's even possible. I've never played The Sims. I just know it's possible to kill people by selling the ladder from the pool. And that's about, or by selling doors. But that's really about all I know is weird ways to murder people. And which would be great for Gnarl. Yeah. And I really thought that was going to be a high feature of the Sim Jurassic Park game that came out, but it really wasn't.
I bought it, but I never played it.
It's not as much fun as it sounds. It should be like this awesome and hilarious tycoon game where either A, you just go gonzo, or B, you do what I was working toward. Just you have one dinosaur in the middle of the island surrounded by the Korean DMZ. And so there is going to be no accident or catastrophe here because our island has guns and support weapons and helicopter patrols. And
I just love the facial expression you got from Laura when you're describing selling doors and ladders, because this is a thing in the game.
It is. Yeah, I'm not making
when they're up. In the pool, you sell the ladder and they don't have a way to get out. So they will swim until they exhaust or starve and they will die. You put them in a room and then sell the door and there's no way out of the room. And they will starve.
Yeah.
That is a thing in the game.
What kind of horrible people are you?
I don't play the game.
I'm mainly directed at it.
I'm just describing it.
Yeah.
I'm like an encyclopedia of information.
That's the thing. Neither one of us play the game.
Yeah.
People who play the game do this and put videos on YouTube.
Yeah. And then we find out about it. I've never actually done this. Look, when I put people I know into games like XCOM or games like RimWorld, I'm not looking to make them flounder and fail. I want them to survive and to do well and whatever. But yeah, for Sims, it just seems like there needs to be more chaos in the game. That's the problem, is XCOM has plenty of death and chaos. RimWorld has more chaos than death, but plenty of death too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just feel like Sims needs an accurate representation of Gnarl in it. And from there, I could branch out and build so many scenarios. Gnarl fails to run a mega corporation. Gnarl fails to run an orphanage. Gnarl fails to run a simple household. And we can do a smorgasbord of these major characters from games we played. Have like Fat Tony, Gnarl, Sir William, whatever.
There is a whole community of Sims players who are now going to reach out to you.
Please do.
Going to have your eyes open to things that you didn't even know existed.
It's this, or I'm going to do a run of the Oregon Trail on Twitch, and Gnarl is going to be the banker who sets up this expedition, and I don't know who would be in it, but people are going to die of cholera.
Yeah.
Or dysentery, yeah.
And you can play that for free.
So thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Wayne, for bringing the follow-up on this game. Once again, check the show notes for a link to the book by, collated by Jason Brick. It's actually by a whole lot of people. It's a collection of short fiction anthology, once again, worth 1,000 words. Link to that in the show notes. A link to how to contact Laura if you're interested in her game for marginalized individuals or marginalized groups, or look for the contact info for Wayne. If you're interested for a high RP game of D&D, high RP, low combat game of D&D, and you can check the show notes and also find Chad's name at the bottom under the list of hosts.
And the info for Brodor's.
Oh, yes. And the info for Brodor's goinfo.org website.
Where he interviewed me, so I guess I do have a link.
Yeah, okay. You can find more information on Chad over at goinfo.org.
For an hour and a half.
And fair warning, this is Brodor's thing.
You know, we actually did not.
I'm just saying, I don't know what's in all of those episodes.
Oh, yeah, no.
Maybe nothing. Maybe it's super whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying, I helped him from a technical and creative standpoint to get the ball rolling. If this turned into the boulder from Indiana Jones, this is not my fault. Right. Okay, all I did was equip Brodor and set him loose. So,
yeah. My episode where he interviewed me, it was not a Brodorian,
Same. The one I did with him was not.
yeah. negative episode territory.
Nice it was. Word.
Thank you. Bacchanal.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Check the show notes for all that mess. Have a great week, great games, and we will catch you all next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2021. Listeners are free to use this episode in a non-commercial endeavor, so long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. If you wish to support this show and its related endeavors, you can do so at patreon.com/feartheboot.